may be seated, and will you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, our souls inspire, illumine our hearts with your celestial fire. For if you are with us, nothing else matters, and if you are not with us, nothing else matters. Amen. They were all there, Peter, James, John, Joanna, Martha, the Marys, Matthew, Andrew, Simon, and so on. They were all there, sitting in their favorite pews, sitting where they always sit, sitting where the sound is best or where they could make the cleanest break when service is over. They were all there, and they were afraid. The scriptures say they were afraid. The news of the day being what it was, and things in the world being what they were, Peter, James, and John, Joanna, Martha, the Marys, Matthew, Andrew, Simon, and so on, they were afraid. And probably some of them were there seeking just a moment's peace from the havoc of the times, and seeking to shut out all that which undid and wearied them so, seeking comfort in the old hymns, seeking refuge in prayer, seeking quiet, seeking hope. And probably others of them were there seeking not to shut out the world, but seeking to be strengthened and sent back out to work for good within it. Seeking to be stirred to great acts of courage and of sacrifice and of holy daring. They were all there, and they were afraid. And Jesus came into their midst and spoke to their fear. Jesus visited them in their distress and bid their troubled hearts be still. Peace, Jesus said. Peace. It was church as church is meant to be. The very thing they gathered in most desperate need of from God, that very thing they were given. It was one of those Sundays like when the sermon seems to have been written with you. When the music or the prayer touches you so deeply that you hover near tears. When you feel Jesus with you in your searching or in your longing or in your rejoicing or in your raging or in your grieving. When you leave just full. If only every Sunday, one of those Sundays, right? If only week in and week out, Jesus were with you like that. Powerfully, palpably, give you the goosebumps with you like that. Answering your questions, answering your prayers, disproving your pesky doubts, whispering to you so you can almost hear him whisper the word of love or of consolation or of blessing that your soul pants for. If only it were never the case that a signal problem at Alewife delays the tea, or that there's no street parking and so you rush in late and can't sit where you always sit because someone else is in your pew and you don't know or you don't like any of the hymns and his cell phone goes off during the silent prayer. I mean, come on. And what? What? I thought the online newsletter said the other one of them was preaching today. and so the sermon is boring. And worst of everything, all of the really good mini muffins are gone by the time you get to coffee hour. If only it never happened that you come expecting to hear a battle cry for social justice, and you get a snoozer of a message about grace. Or that you come bereft and broken open, aching for a word of assurance, and it's politics again. If only it never felt like, though we have gathered, Jesus never showed. If only church were always church as each of us need church to be. But of course, that is not the way of it. This morning, Confirmation Sunday, a group of teenagers will commit themselves to the church. And the most honest thing that I, as a minister, could say to them, could say to you is, why? Are you sure? Wouldn't you rather sleep in on Sundays? And you know, when your lame-o parents are stuck here listening to me, I don't know, wouldn't you rather seize the day and eat ice cream for breakfast and play Minecraft all morning? Get out while you can, before we disappoint you more than we already have. A few good friends of mine who did not grow up going to church, they recently had occasion to attend a service, and one told me afterwards, that wasn't the worst thing I've ever done. And the other said, I guess there's some there. High praise. They reminded me of a joke that people in Des Moines used to make about Iowa. Something like, you know, if you only give us a chance, you might find that we'll exceed your fairly low expectations. Is that church or what? It's easier to make light of this, of, you know, why even bother, and does it matter at all? It's easier to make light of this and to try to put into words how much church means to me and why. Last summer, my little world fell apart. Compared to the sort of pain that other people suffer and the crosses they carry, I got off easy. But it was horrible enough. The sadness and the anger and the shame. And family and friends would check in with me, how are you holding up, and that sort of thing. And I found myself telling them, I would say, I promise this is not just religious BS, but I've never known a peace so deep. I meant it. It was true. And I had to qualify it that way because, well, you might think that as a minister, I should not have been surprised that there was this inexplicable something more going on in me when the worst of it all was going down, that there was this huge, loving, woo-woo Oprah energy or whatever, holding me up and holding me together. But I tell you, I could not have been more surprised by just God. Had God popped out of a big cake. It was the darndest thing. It was like years and years of church. And more often than not, of a fairly dull church with forgettable sermons, of church growing up for a time with an organist who could be counted upon to hit the loud tooting pedal right when How Great Thou Art was starting to swell and then totally ruin the moment. It's years and years of church, of going to church and thinking maybe, well, that was nice, but thinking too, more Sundays than not, thinking that nothing was happening. Years and years of church, years and years of nothing, did something. Doing what I didn't necessarily want to do, but did, because that's what I'd always done, and doing then what I got paid to do, going to church. The quiet discipline of it, it did something. It did something to me and in me. And though I did not see him with me, though I did not sense him with me, Jesus was with me, without my even knowing or honestly expecting it. Jesus had come to me and set to work creating a capacity within me for clear-sightedness and for humility enough to receive the counsel of others, and for decisiveness of action and for resilience, and for forgiveness, for meaning-making, for self-acceptance, for peace. As I said, peace passing all understanding. Hope, for joy, fierce, arrogant joy. And if it can be said that I'm a good person in a pretty average sense only. So to experience this awesome goodness sort of going on inside of me, well, it was not me. It could not have been me. Ask my mother. It was all those Sundays when it seemed as though nothing was happening, but something was happening. It was Jesus attending unseen to the art of soul craft and patiently shaping virtues and dispositions within me that I can't say I did squat to cultivate, really. Church made me a better and stronger me. And I wish I could promise that it will be for you like it was for Peter and James and John and Joanna and Martha and all the Marys and Matthew and Andrew and Simon and so on. I wish I could promise that whenever you go to church, the very thing you are in most desperate need of from God, that very thing you will be given. And that week in and week out, you will feel Jesus come close to you in your searching, in your longing, in your rejoicing, in your raging, and in your grieving. But of course, that is not the way of it. You will not always see Jesus with you, or sense Jesus with you. And there will be times when it seems as though nothing is happening. But I think something is happening. The best I can say is that you are being transformed unawares. You are becoming who it is that one day you will need to be. Who it is that you will need to be if you are to rise to the calling of some challenge or duty or great struggle or even just the suffering meted out for you. I wish that the significance of this Sunday and of every Sunday were obvious. I wish that there were some other way to know what is going on inside of you when, for all you can see, for all you can sense, you are going through the motions only. I wish there were some other way to know the importance and the immensity of the change taking place in you, the tectonic scale of the years and years of shaping and reshaping. I wish there were some other way for you to know this, to come to know this, to come to know the depth of the capacity being created within you for forgiveness without first someday being betrayed, and for holding your head up high without first someday being humiliated, and for hope without first someday being shattered and bereft, and for peace without first someday being beside yourself and undone, and for joy without first someday the bones within you turning to dust, and for love without feeling your vulnerability to abandonment, and for life itself without facing into death. But your practice of the Christian faith will prove itself in time. I wish that there were another way. But the best I can say is this.